Okay, are we ready to do this?
We're ready to start.
Our level's like a little high, actually.
All right. Oh. We're so excited.
So excitable. Right.
Too so excited. Excited.
Tell us. There we go. Okay.
Ha-ha. Right. Hello.
3, 2, 1.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
In the house! Mr. Ryan and Katie tonight. Ryan was a little under the weather, so send good thoughts and energy his way. And then Katie is Prego.
And she's helping Ryan get better.
Taking care of him.
That's right.
So we're going to have to try to muscle on, but I think we can make it. We just came from game night.
That's right.
That's always exciting.
Yeah, we had a good crew and new people.
Yeah, a bunch of new people.
Yes.
I didn't even know anyone's names. I felt bad.
That's normal, Will, though.
Right. So. But I don't always feel bad.
So pulled out some games that we've played recently, like Between Two Castles. And I know
they were there asking for that one. That was
they
cool.
They were. I know I saw Arboretum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I taught Arboretum, Blank Slate, Word Slam.
We played a Codenamed Disney first, our first game of the night.
Yep.
What did you guys play?
Was that by request, or was that just like, this is an easy
one? Yeah, one of the girls saw it and was like, let's play that. I was like, yeah, it's a good one to start off the game night with. Yeah.
Will and I played a 6-player game of The Captain is Dead Lockdown.
Yeah, that was cool.
How was
Super
it?
Super fun. It was good.
I haven't ever played the original, because this is like the sequel.
Yes.
And in this one, you apparently everyone who played the first game lost.
Yes.
And in this game, the aliens have taken over the ship, and then you're cooperatively trying to
just escape the
ship. Yeah, live, make it to the escape pod. But really cool components. Like that was probably my favorite part of the game.
I don't know why little standees.
They were cool looking.
They were.
Aren't these plastic painted things that come in that game?
Yeah. So instead of being cardboard, like just cutouts or whatever, it's like it reminded me of the Shrinky Dinks of my childhood.
That
nostalgia value may have helped out, but really cool illustration style, very vectory illustration,
like
bright
that.
Colors, cool. And then like transparent pieces. You have the level, the round marker or whatever is like, you know, like the acrylic cubes that you get. It was like an acrylic rectangle. So it was like four
oh,
cubes,
that's cool.
And then you just like slide it down the number thing or whatever. Just lots of cool pieces.
Yeah, we were really close to losing, but we pulled it out in the end and won.
I felt like we were crushing it.
Well,
I was crushing it.
I think we were at the point where the aliens were at the set to kill. So if you even encountered any aliens, you were dead, completely dead.
Well,
so we pulled it through, though.
I think Katie was playing the Iquazu from Haba.
Yes, I saw that one.
And then other people saw it and wanted to play it,
so
I
played
taught
it
another round.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
I still haven't played that yet.
I'd like to play that.
Yeah.
So if you're watching Facebook, tell us in the comments what games you've been playing recently.
Yeah, and then we'll tell you how cool they are.
And the other thing, I don't know if you guys played other games, but we actually had our game day at the library. That went pretty well, too.
Yeah,
yes.
That was this past weekend.
Yes.
Which in Time Travel Land is like 2 weeks ago, but it was a lot of fun. Had a good turnout. I think like 50 or 60 people.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep.
I think I only counted one time, but
I think it was actually closer to 70 when I counted.
Wow. And the numbers are rising.
Yeah.
And maybe 80. I'm just kidding. had a good turnout. The Boardwalk, our local friendly game store.
Friendly local game store. FLGS.
Came out and joined us as well. And then some of the staff from the library also happened to be board game geeks. So we had a pretty decent sized library for the number of people we had. And some food and some giveaways. So it was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about 12 games coming to Kickstarter the week of October 1st, 2018.
12 games?
12.
And that's not even like...
That's not all of them. Those are the good ones.
I got to admit, as we were looking through the list earlier, like these are the kind of weeks that get me excited, not just about the podcast, but like the hobby in general. Because these aren't like... Sometimes we could talk about 12 games, and some of them just aren't worth talking about. we're not even talking about all the games.
Right.
We're talking about 12 really good games
yep.
that are coming to Kickstarter this week. Before we get into that, why don't we give a shout out to our sponsor?
This episode is sponsored by 25th Century Games. They've published Christmas Lights, and their new game, Space Explorers, is coming to Kickstarter on October 2nd. And we'll talk more about that in our Kickstarter conniption. We're also really excited that they're going to be a vendor at TantrumCon.
TantrumCon! Can't wait for that. That's exciting. We yes. Had a couple new vendors sign on this week, which is really cool. And ticket sales. Oh, okay. Are you guys ready? Woo! We have a deal for you. You got to take advantage of it. Our early bird special was going to end last day of September.
September 30th.
That's like probably the day before you're hearing this podcast if you're not on Facebook. And so, because we love you so much, we're going to extend it one more day. So go get your tickets today. October 1st, midnight tonight, prices will go up 10%. Or it'll be 10% less. I don't know what the math is on that. It's the a 10% discount.
That's right. The prices are going to go to their regular price.
Right. So get in now while you can. And we just added a bunch of other cool stuff. One of the things we're excited about at this convention is going to be the food aspect of things.
Mm-hmm.
I love food.
We all love food.
We love food.
It's one of my key loves.
We hope you love food too.
And so we're doing some pre-sales on food. We won't be able to sell any food at the event. You'll have to pre-buy meals and things, but we've got a bunch of cool selections. That way you can just stay and game all day. You never have to leave. Just satisfy your needs of board gaming and eating foods.
Wow.
And then there's also a bunch of cool t-shirts and hats and a bunch of other stuff on there. We also just announced, did we talk about this last week? The Catan National Qualifier thing?
We did. We talked about it last week.
Okay. Well, cool.
It's still exciting.
It's still very exciting.
Yeah. And so hopefully we'll get some people signed up on that. I don't know how our registration system works. I'll have to ask Jason, our guru.
Yeah. And we'll also have other tournaments there, too.
Yeah. And giveaways and all kinds of good stuff. The kids' room is looking like it's going to be fantastic. We got a huge sponsor for that. So, like, it will be a better deal if you're a kid to come to our event.
Yes, it actually will.
All kinds of free games, kid ticket prices. Oh, man, getting exciting.
Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
From there, let's do it.
Woohoo!
Kickstarter conniption.
Kevin, start us off.
So on October 1st, Certifiable Studios will be launching their game called D6.
Creative.
I know, right? So what do you guys think the subject matter of the game is?
I'm going to guess cards.
Okay.
I believe dice, but...
There is dice. There's lots of dice involved. This company put out a game called Who Goes There previously. It was themed off of the John Carpenter's The Thing.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of like hidden betrayal stuff. This game is based off of role playing.
Okay.
And the tagline is players are playing the role of players who are playing a role playing game.
Oh. Meta.
So really meta going on here. So I think they're going to be rolling lots of D6 dice. And the artwork is very, very cool. And lots of the goblins and they got bandits there, it looks like. So.
If this is the finished style, I do like that a lot. It has kind of this like sketchy, like it looks like somebody was playing a role playing game, sitting there sketching their character out, and they've got like the pencil and ink and color wash and everything. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, the Who Goes There has been pretty popular from production value to gameplay. I think they're gonna have another hit here for D6 from Certifiable Studios coming October 1st. Melissa,
on October 2nd. Dragon Boats of the Four Seas is coming to Kickstarter from Maple Games. This is designed by Michael Schacht. It's for 2 to 4 players, takes about 60 minutes, and the game involves set collection, an interesting type of bidding with your actions, and area influence. Kevin and I actually did a video on this game.
It's already live.
And it's live, so you can see that on our YouTube channel. But, it's in a Chinese theme. You
yes.
have these boats that you're trying to get on to go to different lands and occupy farmlands and collect sets of animals or rice, different farming type of objects. It has bidding where you put all of your action discs out, but they can stack on specific spots. And whoever is on top gets to take the action first, but you pay the cost of every disc in the stack. Ooh, so if you're the third one, the top one of a stack of three, you have to pay 3 coins to take the action. So there's a little bit of how much can I afford, and are people going to go on top of my disc and then get what I want first?
Good strategy there. I think that's the...
It's pretty... like perfectly makes sense mechanic though. Like, I don't think I've seen that anywhere else.
I haven't either.
It's a great way to do it.
It's really, really strategic. And I think that's what like the meat of the game is for the players. The other thing, like we haven't seen it yet, but they're going to have 3-dimensional dragon boats that are going to be going to different lands. Like right now it's like a piece of cardboard that you're putting your meeples on, but they have like designs for the 3D boats. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Cool. And the way you put your meeples on the boats are kind of interesting. There's 3 slots. The middle slot is cheapest. The front of the boat, that person's going to get off first and be able to take the land options, but the person in the back of the ship steers it. So the person in the back gets to choose which island it goes to.
Interesting.
But the person in the front goes off first.
That reminds me of Imhotep.
So there's lots of little decisions to make about, do I want first choice or do I want to get to choose where we go? And that's Dragon Boats of the Four Seas, coming October 2nd.
Who, did you know who the designer was on
It's
that?
Michael Schacht. He's done quite a few other games.
He's got a couple games under his belt.
Cool. It sounds intriguing. I'm looking at the game Hollywood Death Race.
What?
It's coming October 2nd as well. It's from Mangrove Games, and it's a 2-to-6-player racing game, and it has probably the coolest nostalgia 80s theme that I've ever seen. Period.
Knockoffs.
Yeah. But it's amazing. It's like parody of everything I loved as a kid.
That's good.
Yes.
So you can race as like Optimus Prime, whose name is something else.
Maximus
Prime.
Maximus 1.
Yeah. you know, you've got Back to the Future. You've got Laura Croft. You've got, I don't even know, everybody's in this.
Do you have Scooby-Doo?
No, Scooby-Doo's in it. Scooby-Doo's a little...
There's Karate Kid. I saw
Karate Kid. There's Jurassic Park.
And then the boards are all based on things. So you've got like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and there's like a giant She-Ra in there, and there's like Star Wars and Star Trek all mingled together. Really, really, really fun artwork. Racing games aren't normally my thing. You know, the roll and move, or even in this one, you're on a track and you have a certain number of actions. But they did add a lot of cool stuff. So each player card has like its own special abilities, and you've got health points that you're keeping track of, and you've got this like Affixium energy cubes that you can spend on stuff. And in addition to all that, you've also got a board that is modular, I guess is the word for it. I don't know. You've got a bunch of different boards, so you can choose which ones you want to use. I was muting so that Ben could get past all the box sounding.
Sorry.
We've got a copy right here that we're looking at. And
it's amazing.
It's got a really, really fun art style. It plays pretty quickly.
It plays either when you do 2 players, you're obviously playing against each other. If you move up 3 or 4, above 3 players, then you play on teams. So
is this Catman?
It's Catman.
No, Catman.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty cool. We played it a bunch of different times, and it is... the only downside to the game is that it's usually pretty obvious who's going to win, because you've got like 5 action points. So once you get down to that last set of track, it's kind of like, oh, he's got it. But really, really cool art. Lots and lots of fun. October 2nd, Hollywood Death Race. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at The Hunger Games Mockingjay the Board Game.
That was the worst whistle I've done in a while.
You want to try that again?
I can't do it
either. Wasn't to do better.
I remember where I have to...
I can hum it.
There you go.
Okay.
Pretty close.
I had to do it myself. Okay. This is from River Horse, and they are bringing a miniatures game with the Hunger Games IP, and this is the actual IP, not just from the book. So this has...
The actual. I'm so confused.
Well, okay.
The movie.
The movie. Sorry, the movie, not just the books. So it
the characters are going to look like the characters.
So there is almost the Lionsgate. Okay, the Lionsgate licensing. Okay. But the if you head to their website, they don't actually have any info on Board Game Geek yet for this game. So it is launching October 1st. They have some photos and mock-ups of some of the rosin miniatures They have Katniss done and President Snow.
Cool.
So you can check some of those out. But
it looks like they're all done. They just don't show.
I think people are going to buy the game because of the miniatures.
Yeah. There's no info even if on what the gameplay is or any of that. But the miniatures look good. So
cool. So may the odds ever be in your favor.
Yeah.
Kevin. What are you looking at?
So on October 1st, a game that is coming to Kickstarter is The Last Days of Athobray. And this is coming from Moonlit Moor Games. Ryan and Katie actually have a prototype copy of this at their house, and I wish I could see it. But this game is a competitive turn-based resource gathering game, and players are basically taking on controlling one of the civilizations in the game, and they're building a spaceship to escape their dying planet. So that's what they're trying to do in the game. And the game, it takes 2 to 4 hours to play.
Whoa.
So it is.
That's why it's at Ryan and Katie's
house. That's why it's at Ryan and Katie's house.
Dedicated.
And it's for 2 to 5 players, and we will have a preview video of it coming soon. Cool. So, Melissa.
This game is tentatively coming on October 2nd, and it is Lovelace and Babbage from Artana.
Ooh.
It is designed by Scott Olms.
Nice.
And it's 2 to 4 players, takes about 15 to 30 minutes, and this is a real-time math set collection.
Way more fun than it sounded like she just said.
Yes, I say it's math made fun.
There you go, math made fun.
So basically, you're trying to complete mathematical operations to hit certain numbers that are on the patron cards to get certain icons that you're collecting. So it could be I'm starting at 55 and I add 10 to go to 65 and then I multiply that by 2 to go to 100 and something or other because it's math. And with each operation, you're trying to hit certain numbers to get the cards to get the set collection. I am very slow at math, so even though other people are finishing their operations first and getting to the cards first, you can still do okay in the game because there is a lot of strategy yes. about which cards you go to
and what numbers you're going
and
to.
The operations and the numbers that you are trying to get to. So even if you're like, oh, I'm not fast at math, this is still, it's more of a puzzle game.
Right.
There's that's obviously right. a lot of math yeah. in it, but it's the strategy of getting the right symbols, and each player has a character with what they call subroutines. Because the theme is Ada Lovelace and Charles Babbage, who were the pioneers in computer programming.
Yep. It feels to me like a Roland Wright game.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Or a Revealing Wright or something.
Yeah, feels has that feel to it, but it's not.
Right.
So
it's very puzzly, but the math is not hard math. I mean, it's like usually it's like add 5 or add 10 or minus 2.
Right.
So that they're like it's easy numbers.
Or swap your numbers.
Figuring out, yeah. Figuring out what order to do those in, and then the fast pace of it being real time. It's pretty exciting. I've enjoyed it. It's a really simple looking game too. Like there's nothing crazy about it. It was fun. It was really cool.
Yeah, and those subroutines give you special player powers that you can use then in the game to have an advantage or maybe even mess up the other players. But I really enjoyed it. That's Lovelace and Babbage, maybe coming out October 2nd. If not, probably shortly after that.
And I think you and Sarah did a review.
Yes,
or did
yes.
You're going to do a review of that one?
As long as it's
whenever it publishes. And, oh, whenever I edit it.
It's whenever you edit it.
Yeah, well.
I think you guys are probably going to have one soon. Cool. I'm looking at Center Shaft Fallen Elements. It's coming October 6th. It's a 2 to 4 player game from Not My Eyeballs.
And I think they're watching on Facebook right now.
Are you? Hey, guys.
Woo!
We have played this one. We also put together a review of this. Me and Larry, the intern, had some fun playing this one. And then did we do a playthrough?
We did a playthrough. Yeah. Okay. I played that one with you guys.
Yeah. So it's a tile-based game. It's not necessarily tile placement, although at the beginning of the game, you are building this really cool, I can't remember what it's called, like subterranean cavern thing.
Yeah.
And that will
like
be
a labyrinth.
Yeah, yeah. And it is your map for the game, so it changes every time, which is pretty cool. A lot of different tiles. Some of them you're just traveling through on a certain number of spaces. Some of them have like booby traps and triggers that Melissa can magically use to stab you in the face.
Booby traps.
Oh, you booby trap the other players?
Yes.
That's great.
There's like a button that triggers it, and so I was like standing standing in this spear room or whatever. It was terrible.
Yeah, like Indiana Jones, like spears coming out of the walls.
Right.
Awesome. So what are you trying to do in the game?
You're trying to collect four elements, and as you collect them, you'll get jewels, and those jewels will also give you powers, and so you're also trying to avoid this, like, shadow monster dude who's, like, roaming around trying to attack you, and there's some portals, and it's just, you're kind of all over the place. It's got two different movement methods, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
You can just do, like, the roll and move method.
Okay.
Or all the players have their own little player board, and you have, like, this compass or whatever, and you can choose to move 12, 3, 6, or 9 spaces on your turn. But you only get to do those, like, one time before they reset. So you might move 12 the first time to cover some ground, and then you're left with, you know, lesser movement.
Okay.
So some strategic movement options, pretty
cool. So you choose at the beginning of the game, should we do that or the other one? Okay.
Correct. And then bunches of cards in there, too, so you get shields and spears and other weapons and things.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Coming October 7th, Center
Sixth.
Shaft. 6th. Sounds even better. Fallen Elements. Sarah, what's got next?
I am talking about Space Explorers from 25th Century
our
Games.
Our sponsor?
Yes, yay! Our sponsor. I am not going to try and pronounce the designer's name. Aww. He is Russian. This was originally published in Russia.
Cool.
And they 25th Century Games is bringing an English version to the United States and elsewhere. This is a 2-4 player game. It's kind of got a base mechanic like Splendor, but I would say that it is ramped up a little more than Splendor is. Instead of just having jewel cards in Splendor, you will be gaining scientists to work on your team to try and launch projects into space. I enjoy that the project tokens that you will get towards the end of the game are all real life
spaceships and satellites and rockets and things.
So it's historic, and I love the art style on it. It's got a nice...
It kind of reminded me of something between like Splendor and maybe even like Gizmos. You've kind of got this like programming bar in
when
front
I
of
looked
you.
At the game, I was like, that looks like Gizmos with like the way it looks.
Where you're laying your cards out in front. Yeah. And so you get like discounts on... You buy specialists and add them to your team, and then the more that you have in each category reduces the cost of adding more of those specialists to you. Mm-hmm. And then you've got these like goal cards that you're trying to get to, so you have to have a certain number of each type of specialist.
Yeah, so that's like Splendor. But then on top of all that, the cards that you're adding, the specialist cards, some of them have individual powers on them. That if it's the top one in that stack, you can keep doing that action on your turn until you cover it up with another card.
Yeah, so you can create some nice little engine stuff going on where if you add a card over here, you can add one more card over there and different things like that. Pretty cool. I really like the art style. It's got a very nostalgic, you know, like Man on the Moon era look to it. Really, really classy artwork. A lot of fun. This one's a cool one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I've only played it once, but I really enjoyed trying to figure out that engine building aspect.
I want to play it again.
There are a lot of icons, but I think once you get used to them, they do make sense.
Well, they have a handy sheet, and the cards are numbered, so you know exactly where to find the icon on the sheet to help
explain
it.
That is the winner right there, because the icons, I was like, what? But the cheat sheet is perfect. It's really easy to reference. Those numbers make it really, works really well. We played it at the game day at the library, and I know everybody there was having a good time with it. Did we play it tonight, too?
I did not, but yes, I
believe. So I think someone did play
tonight. Yeah, pretty cool. It's a good game, real good.
Yeah, Kevin, what are you talking about?
So we're going to continue on with a game coming on October 2nd from the Enigma Emporium. Mm-hmm. Now, this game, I know we all are fans of escape rooms, and this game is literally a couple postcards, and we actually have it right here in my hand. And
are we opening it right now on the show?
What? But we decided that it actually takes like an hour to play, so we can't
tune
play it right now.
Time.
So we're going to play it this week, and next podcast we will give our thoughts on it.
Cool.
We wanted to let you know that we do have a copy of the prototype or something at least of the game, and look for actually the name of it's called Wish You Were Here. So when you look it up on Kickstarter, look up Wish You Were Here. And there's postcards here. We got postcards in the mail.
Finally, Katie's not even here to be all excited.
And they have puzzles and kind of escape room type.
Yeah, I mean, you can just look at there's the. There's some.
Interesting.
All kinds of puzzles and ciphers.
I'm looking forward to trying that out. So
cool.
Melissa.
On October 3rd, we have Rise to Nobility Beyond from Final Frontier Games. This is an expansion to Rise to Nobility, which was kickstarted, I think, last year.
It's hard to know. Time flies.
Lots of people already have the game, have played the game. So this is an expansion to it. The game is a dice worker placement. And this expansion adds a new expansion board that you play with. It has glade cards. There's three types of cards and relics, elders, and dwellings. Mm-hmm. And you can collect them and activate them for certain powers. Some of them might be endgame scoring. Some of them give you benefits during the game. And then there's a offering board where you can give up points, not points, you can give up reputation, which is what allows you to place certain values of dice. You can give up reputation and goods and maybe coins to get different benefits on the offering track. And then at the end of the game, whoever has the most tokens on the offering track scores the number of points equal to all the offering tokens.
Whoa, interesting.
Yes. So it's worth going to putting your discs up there.
I guess so.
Yeah, and then the second place person on the offering gets half of that and then half of that. So there's a lot of end game points you can get on the offering track. And then the game also includes a new resource, Rock Rose. And you can use it to trade for lots of different things. So you can trade Rock Rose for nobility, for reputation, for coins, for goods. Yeah.
They look like little rubies.
Yeah, like little rubies, gems. So the expansion adds a lot more versatility to the game. Mm-hmm. There's even a new set of settlers cards that you can use any types of goods that you want to settle them. Because in the base game, the certain settlers might want the blue, the green, and the white goods. And you can only use these. Well, these new settlers, you can spend any goods you want. But you also have to spend Rock Rose equal to the number of goods. Mm-hmm. So if people thought it was maybe a little too tight in the original game, I think this expansion gives you more options for scoring, more options to place your dice, and ways to settle.
I was going to say the other thing that was really important for me in the game was the use of reputation. Because in reputation in the game, you it allows you to place more or less dice, because the higher reputation, the more dice you can place out. But in this game, it's almost like you're using reputation as a resource, because some of the places you can place your dice and actually lose reputation, but you're getting things out of it. So I thought that was a cool mechanic, or cool addition to the game.
Yeah, it makes reputation even more of a resource to use. And there's even more ways to gain reputation. So that is Rise to Nobility Beyond, and Kevin and I will have a preview video of that.
So I'm going to totally interject, because I just played Cavern Tavern.
Oh, yeah,
at the game day. Yeah, on Saturday, which I don't think I've played in like a year or two. I still love that game. I just wanted to toss that out there.
Okay.
It was one of my favorite games when it came out.
I remember.
And I just, craziness, reviewing, you don't have time to play as many games as you want.
And you remembered your love for it.
I did. It was great. I was like, man,
reignited
totally.
It.
I did. It did help that I literally lapped everyone else on the scoreboard. Because we were totally playing one of the rules wrong. There was an expansion which was like player powers.
Uh-huh.
And we all agreed that the player powers were like, okay, well, this is your power. You can use it as many times as you want.
This is a one time.
Which is not true. You're supposed to only use it twice during the game.
Okay.
My power was super overpowered. So I was just like collecting resource cards or the ingredient cards like every turn, smashing everyone else. I was like, I'm sorry, you guys, this card is broken, but I just got 22 more points.
Maybe.
It was terrible.
We'll cheat again.
Wrong.
We all cheated together. Like, everybody used their player power too many times, but mine was just way better. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Sarah, what are you looking at?
I am looking at Snitch, which is coming out October 4th on Kickstarter from Slight Games. This is a fun little filler game that plays in about 10 to 20 minutes, and it's for 3 to 5 players. It is a 8-round card game. Whoever is the gang leader, they are trying to get their gang members to come along to collect the loot. And so everyone will be dealt some cards, and the gang leader will reveal cards and show these are the cards that we need specifically to be able to make the heist successful. And then the players will negotiate between themselves, and everyone will choose one card from their hand. And if the gang is all there, they are successful. But if not, people have also snitch cards in their hand. If too many snitch cards come out instead of the gang members, then the snitch will be able to stop the loot from being passed around. So, and the snitch takes it all. So it looks like an interesting little card game. Looks like a great filler. So that's coming October 4th from Slight Games.
So would that be social manipulation? So then it falls into Will and Katie's category yes. of our gamer profile. Sounded like it does,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, convince everybody to play one thing and then totally play a different thing yep. and steal all the loot. I think I can play this game.
Yep. Yeah, it almost reminds me kind of the mechanic with Dead Last. Where you're getting players to try and be on your side, but then secretly you're actually with somebody else. I can yep. see that working out really well. All right, Kevin, what are you talking about?
So the last game for our Kickstarter Conniption is actually a game that's already on Kickstarter. I didn't know it. I was looking it up as we were talking, and so I was like, oh, I think this is coming next week. But no, Andrew Pauly has already launched Cthulhu Kids, a cosmic catastrophe battle card game.
Ooh.
It's a card-based two-player battle game featuring
kids?
Cthulhu!
Oh, Cthulhu.
And kids?
And kids.
Are they kid Cthulhus?
They are,
they?
Yes.
Okay.
You can see the little
baby,
pictures here.
Oh, cute baby Cthulhus.
Cute little baby Cthulhus. He actually is a graphic artist and has produced some comics in this, like, series. With
Universe?
Cthulhu. Yeah, Universe. Thank you. Universe. And they decided to, I think he brought on a designer, game designer, to actually create a game out of the art that he's produced. And it's on Kickstarter right now. And go look it up. It's Cthulhu Kids. And it's already got, looks about 25% funded already. I think it just launched.
Cool.
Like recently, like good maybe today.
Very cool. Check it out. So I think, 11 games. That was fast.
12.
That's even more than 11. All kinds of good ones. Man.
Math is fun.
Counting is hard. Yes. Very cool. I think that Larry has got a little timeout segment for us. So why don't we roll over to the tantrum timeout with Larry, the intern.
The 60-second Tantrum House timeout.
Why would you even play this game?
Where we save you from playing the games that you wish you never played. Here's your host, Larry the Intern.
This week in the timeout, we're looking at Pretending to Grown Up by Golden Bell Studios. Ugh, I cringed to even think about giving this game exposure. It's so obviously a cash grab that I'm surprised cash grab isn't in the title. Pretending to cash grab grown-ups. Lest you think I'm being harsh, here are comments from actual owners of the game. It's a cute and silly piece of 5-minute fun for a group of drunken adults. No fun included anywhere in the game. And think Go Fish, but less guesswork. Need I say more? You win by collecting 12 grown-up points by squabbling with other people. Sounds more like a way to win toddler points. This game is nearly $30 on Amazon? Yeah, pass. My theory? The creator found a way to make money by complaining how hard it is to be a white adult in America. The founding fathers would be so proud. Pretending to Grown Up gets one poopy adult diaper out of 5.
Well, thanks, Larry.
Yeah.
I think we have a giveaway. A couple weeks ago, we announced that we had another copy of Magnets the Game, which is currently on Kickstarter. And we are rolled the dice during the break, and the winner is Matthew.
Nope.
Michael.
So as I said, Michael.
Congratulations, Michael.
Michael from Canada, and we'll get an email out to you this week and mail you this game, Magnets the Game.
Yeah, so enjoy. It's a fun, easy, quick one that you can pull out and play with any, pretty much any number of people, and congratulations on winning. If you, do we have another contest right now? Even if we don't, do we?
Well, we're still running the Draconis Invasion.
Oh, yeah, sweet. So, tell us about that.
Draconis Invasion is a deck-building game. They have a Kickstarter right now for their expansion, Draconis Invasion Wrath, and you can look that up on Kickstarter. That they're sending out the base game to one lucky winner here on the Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast, and you can go to our website, tantrumhouse.com, and enter to win for that.
Yeah, there's a form right at the top for entering our contests. Once you're entered into that, you'll be entered into all of our future contests as well. So this is, get in there now, give us your info, and we will continue to roll for winners and announce those on the show. And we'd love to send Draconis Invasion to you. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for the show, unless there's some dream that Ryan has that...
Well, there was a horrific vision that we had not too long ago.
No, it was no vision. It was like a real thing in the studio here. Melissa said, I feel something strange on my arm. And all of a sudden...
And then I looked out on the floor. Da-da-da. And there was a roach.
It snuck in. Obviously, there are never any other roaches at our house.
South, there are in the roaches woods in every building in the south.
Big, ginormous one. Fortunately, there was a weapon at hand. My children had left nearby.
Where is it?
Here it is.
Here it is.
We were able to vanquish.
Wow, Melissa and Will can hold that.
Worthy I am. That's right. In case you're not watching, I'm holding a sweet, awesome... plastic gray hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Thor's hammer.
Mjolnir. Right.
So
Mjolnir.
I wielded Mjolnir. Mjolnir? You see it with a cat meow?
I don't know.
Mjolnir with great...
I don't know. He was like swinging it for all his life.
he was pounding. That roach was bouncing 3 feet into the air.
He tried to get me. I had a little electricity to hit him.
What was that game in the Chuck E. Cheese's? The mole game?
Well, there's... Have you played the... is it Bug in the Kitchen? Is that what it's called?
It's
there's a
kid game.
Yes,
yeah.
There's a kid game where there's the little mechanical
one of those
little
roach things called that are like robot bugs.
Yeah, and you roll dice to move the forks and knives around, and it makes a little maze around, and you have to try and get it in your trap and not everybody else's.
Oh, it was crazy
with your hammer.
But the roach is dead. Good job. Whew. Whack-a-mole. Thank you, Paul.
Vanquished.
Paul, we appreciate that. It is called Whack-a-mole, and that's what Will looked like.
Whack-a-roach.
It was a good time. Well, cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week, and then check out our Facebook channel if you haven't been on there. Page, whatever it's called. We've been posting all kinds of video reviews on there. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, tantrumcon.com. Woo! So many things. See you guys next week.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes, Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss...
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The Toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.